Western Sydney Women's Oral History Project, From Farms to Freeways, Women's Memories of Western Sydney. This interview is taken with Mrs. Eugenie Stapleton of St. Mary's.
My name is Eugenie Stapleton. My address, 10 Brock Avenue, St. Mary's. Date of birth, 21st of January, 1911. Place of birth, Lambton, Newcastle. Nationality, Australian. Marital status, well, I'm married. Number of children, 2.
So, your period of residence in the area has been since 1946, you said. And did you come here with your family?
Yes. Len was in the army. And he came out of the army. He got home in December 1945. He couldn't come as soon as the war ended because he had dermatitis and tropical ulcer and that sort of thing. He was in Bougainville. He arrived on the 20th of December 1945. And in the March he was appointed engineer of St. Mary's Council, but we couldn't get a house for about 6 months. We eventually got a house in October and bought it. And I brought the 2 children here.
So that wasn't this house, but it was. No. Where was the house that you built? Did you build it?
Or no, we bought it. It was a new house. And the owner wanted to sell it to get more money to build housing commission houses because there was a demand for housing commission houses in the area after the war. So he sold it to us.
And whereabouts was that house?
That was in Phillips Street, which is just one back from the railway.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just up from the Queen Street corner. It's been demolished since, and a garage was built there, shell garage.
And you lived there until when?
1962.
Oh, right. So that's during the period of the change here. That would have been mostly in that house that you were living. And what was the area like when you first came to live here?
Oh, very countryside. There were about half a dozen houses in shops in Queen Street, a number of houses in vacant blocks, and only electric trains. And Queen Street used to cross the railway, there by level crossing, which was closed when the trains were electrified and Gossip Street was opened across the railway line.
And were there houses close together? Did you have next door neighbours?
Yes.
And was it a large block of land that you
built on? Yes, just a normal building block, but it was deep and a long way back.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a garden around your house?
Mm-hmm.
Did you grow vegetables?
Not much. No.
Mm-hmm. And so what would your daily routine have been like when you lived there? I suppose your children were small when you first came.
Yes, John was 6 and Janet was 15 months when we came here. And John began school and I used to have to take him down and across the highway because the school wasn't big enough and the second class I think he was in were in the Presbyterian church on the other side of the highway. So I used to take him down in the morning, put him across the highway, and the teacher, she was an elderly lady, quite nice, used to put the children across the highway in the afternoon. He'd walk home from there.
And did your daughter go to the same school?
Yes.
And did you have a car? Or
yes.
Did you, so that made it easier to get around?
Oh, no, because the car was for Len. He was an engineer of the council, and he had to have a car. He had one when we came here, but he got the first new Ford,
oh, yes.
from Lance Motors. They were the big, they were the car dealers. They moved up into Glossop Street later and had a very big business up there called, bought out recently by a man named Young. But they were Lance and Fraser's down in Queen Street, and they got the first, two of the first Chevs after the war.
Oh.
And Len got one as engineer of the council, and Dr. Day got the other.
Oh. And so you still had to, how did you get around?
Oh, I could drive. Mm-hmm. I'd had a licence for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I got a licence when I was teaching at West Wylong.
You were a school teacher, were you?
Mm-hmm. High school teacher. And
what subject did you teach?
French and German.
Oh.
I didn't teach German everywhere, but I taught it at Parramatta High and West Wylong.
Mm-hmm.
And English, of course, I had to teach.
Mm. So you had the use of the car, didn't
you? Yes,
yes.
Because
public transport wasn't very good in those days, was it? The bus service.
No, there was a bus. The bus driver lives up the top of this street now on the other side.
Oh, now?
The bus owner.
Oh.
Mm. He's 83 now. Mm.
Really?
Mm.
And so you were saying what your daily routine was. You'd take the children to school and...
I'd take John to school. Janet didn't go to school till she was nearly six. There wasn't any room for her in the school till she was nearly six. And I only took John to school the couple of months of the first year that we came here, because the next year he was up a class, he was down at the school, and he could walk to school by himself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
I suppose there wasn't much traffic on the roads then.
No, nothing like now, of course. But the roads weren't the same. Queen Street wasn't tarred, wasn't there?
Was it?
No, it was dirt road. And I had to heat up the copper to wash the clothes, and heat up the copper when we had a bath, and all that sort of thing.
You had a chip heater or something, did you? Or?
No, used to boil the copper to get the water
first. For a bath?
First.
Mm. And did you have to collect the firewood too, or
mm-hmm.
did you?
Yes.
What, from a roundabout, or did you buy it from a produce store or something?
Oh no, we used to get enough. Didn't take much to pull it off of the copper. We used to, I don't know what we did. Forget now, how we got our wood for that. We got a chip bath heater later and used to pull up cardboard and bits of wood and for that.
Good way of using up bits and pieces. And did you do all your own cooking and housework? And
Yes, until I, some years later, I got ill. I got lupus, actually. That wasn't diagnosed till 1956. It's a genetic disease, and that was diagnosed by Dr. Sir Thomas Greenaway in 1956. But I didn't know what was wrong with me, but I used to get things wrong. Muscular problems.
Oh.
And joints. And Len got a help for me once a week, the woman to do the washing and ironing.
And talking about that sort of thing, did you have you had good medical services nearby, did you? Or did you have
one doctor in St Mary's.
Only one.
Mm-hmm. And his daughter. His daughter had just graduated and she went in practice with him. So I had Dr. Day to begin with, and then when he died, Proust K- carried on the practice, and I had Dr. Prudhoe.
And so what did you do about any emergencies, medical emergencies? You had to call on Dr. Day, there was no hospital nearby?
No, Penrith was the closest. I had one emergency. Janet, I'd been asked to afternoon tea by the bank manager's wife, Mrs. Minns. And I took Janet with me, she was only 18 months old at the time. And John came after school and I was having afternoon tea and he said, "Oh, Mum, Janet's funny." And I went quickly and had a look at her and she was choking. And there was a screw top jar there with stuff in. And so I pushed my finger down and made her vomit about three times. And they rang Dr. Day and Prue came. And she said, "Oh, do you have to go up to hospital? It's something that she's drunk from that jar." And Mrs. Min said, "Oh, that's Roger's spirits of salt." He left it on the table nearby. And Janet always had her orange drink in a screw-top jar and went out. She got confused and must have thought it was orange drink. So we rang Len and he came and took her up to Penrith Hospital. And they said that there was no sign of burning in her throat, but that there were a lot of pieces of galvanised iron in the jar and she could possibly have swallowed a piece, so they x-rayed her, but she hadn't. And they said the pieces of galvanised iron had killed the effect of the spirits of salts.
Oh, isn't that lucky?
Oh.
How old was she then?
18 months. Oh. I hadn't been here long and I didn't know anybody and I was quite pleased to be asked to afternoon tea and that's what happened. But it was all right.
Did you find it hard to get to know people when you first came here?
Well, there weren't many to get to know.
Right.
I joined the Mother's Club when Janet started school, not till then. And I got to know people there and I was appointed president of the Mother's Club. And
did you feel isolated?
No, I've never felt that, no.
And I guess the community was a fairly friendly one because
yes.
It was small.
Mm. There were very few people.
And did you like? What made you decide to come to Penrith to live?
St Mary's.
Oh, to St Mary's.
Len got the job of engineer of St Mary's
see,
Council.
That's why you actually came here. Oh.
See, he had been engineer of Oberon Council before the war. And John was about 15 months old when we went to Oberon. And it was a very bitter winter climate.
Mm. That's near Orange, isn't it?
Out of Orange, yes. And, no house to live in. I had to share a house with another family, the owner of it. And then they took in another family, it was hectic, who came up there to get away from the bombing of Japs in Sydney. And I didn't really like Oberon, living in it. And then I got the house to myself when they got tired of living there and they decided the bombs weren't going to worry them. They went back to Sydney. And I had the house to myself, but it was a fairly new house, but they hadn't put in any power points because electricity in Oberon's so dear. Mm. So I used to have to use flat irons to iron, boil up the copper to wash the clothes, and the tea towels used to be frozen when I'd hang them on the line in winter. It was very bitter.
Yeah. So you probably enjoyed moving to St Mary's then. So did you have electricity in your house there at St Mary's?
Mm-hmm.
And did you have sewerage and that sort of
thing? No, didn't have sewerage when we built this in 1962.
Didn't you?
Had to wait another year or two.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And what about electrical appliances? Did you have vacuum cleaners and refrigerators and things like that?
I got my first refrigerator, a kerosene refrigerator, down at Phillip Street.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just coming in.
Mm-hmm. And you had the ice chest before that, mm-hmm. I suppose. Mm-hmm. And how did you manage for shopping? Did you have...
Well, you didn't have to shop, you rang up the...
Everything was delivered.
Grocer.
Those were the days.
You used your milk, your bread, ice, your groceries, your meat.
So you really hardly had to go to the shop at all.
Mm.
Mm. What about clothing? Did you buy that locally or did you go to the city?
Oh, there was nowhere here to buy clothing.
Mm.
No. Used to go to Parramatta or Penrith occasionally. We didn't shop much.
No. Mm. Did you sew yourself at all?
Yes. I knitted a lot.
Did you?
Oh, yes. I was knitting for everybody.
And what did you do for recreation in those days?
Oh, I played tennis.
Did you? Mm-hmm.
And golf.
Mm-hmm.
The Dunheaven Golf Club was just starting. It was only 9 holes then.
Oh, was it?
There was no clubhouse. But I belonged to the golf club for a while. And the tennis club. And later on, I got... that was about the 1958 or 60, I joined the League of Health, which was wonderful. And they had classes at Penrith, and I used to go up once a week to them. And when they folded, I joined aerobics and yoga. I loved that.
Was that in St Mary's?
No.
Penrith.
And then they got into trouble and they started on the exercise classes. Do you remember that?
Yes. John Valentine's sort of thing, you mean?
I don't know who it was, but they closed down all the exercise classes.
Mm.
And then I joined a literature, university literature class. And we studied all sorts of books.
Mm.
I wrote a bit.
Which university was this?
Sydney.
So you did it by correspondence?
No, the girl woman came out and gave the lectures. Mel Oberon, her name was. Mm.
Like
she's very good.
And this would have been when your children were grown up? That you were doing that?
When they were at high school.
Yeah. So you did have some time to follow your own interests, which was good.
I went back teaching for 1 year.
Oh, did you?
I got a phone call from Parramatta High in 1956 to say they were one French and German teacher short, which was in March, and that I was at home doing nothing. And they wanted me to keep an appointment at the education department. So I thought, oh no, no. And the next day, a woman knocked on the door, and a Dutch lady, and asked if I had any work for her. And I thought, perhaps I was meant to go back teaching. So I thought, oh well, I'll go in and keep the appointment, see what they have to say. So I went into the department, and they greeted me. 5 or 6 elderly gentlemen seated, and I had no respect for the education department. I'd had too many experiences with them when I was first appointed.
Mm.
If you want to hear about it, I'll tell you, but it doesn't affect this history. You know, they move you. Move you.
Right out to.
Not only that, they moved me. I had appendicitis and I came down from Tumut and had an operation, and they sent me to Ashfield Girls Intermediate High School, and 10 days before the May holidays, they moved me to Bathurst High. And I thought, 10 days, and then I'll be back for fortnight. Of course, all they could wait 10 days, so I told the headmistress about it, and she didn't want me to go. She said, well, look, I said, I'll give them a ring. She said, that won't do you any good. We'd go in and see them. I'll take your classes this afternoon, which was very good of her. So I went in and told the man I didn't want to go to Bathurst just for 10 days. And he said, that's all right. You needn't go. But you won't be going after my holidays. And I really don't know where you'll go then. And I thought mentally, Broken Hill.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I'll go to Bathurst. And I went to Bathurst for 10 days and all the next term. And I had 50 boys and girls with their leaving certificate counting up. And they moved me. And I couldn't understand it.
Where to?
To Penrith. And I realised later it was because I was in a full high school. I'd been teaching 2 years, which meant I went up if I was in a full high school. But if I was in an intermediate high school, I didn't get a rise in pay, and they moved me to save a few pounds a week.
This was in 1950.
Oh, this was in 1935. And I lost all respect for the department when they moved me from my 50th class just before the... And when I went to Bathurst, 10 days before the May holidays, I found I hadn't had any teacher for 7 weeks.
Goodness,
so that's the sort of thing they did.
Not a bit.
And I lost my respect for the department. But anyway, I had this interview and... They greeted me with, oh, has your husband left you? I said, no, he hasn't. And I said, what's more, I don't really want to teach. It's 18 years since I taught. And I've only been asked to come because I can teach those languages and they can't get another teacher. But if I come, I will not teach first period or last because I have a daughter at home who's in fifth class and I will not leave her alone in the house when I go in the morning, and I will not have her come home to an empty house. And they looked at me. Anyway, they said, oh, all right. So I did it for, I thought it would be a month, but it was all that year. And they appointed me the next year, but I said, no, thank you.
Yes, that's enough. And have you worked at all since then? Or?
Only for Len.
Right.
I did his typing for a few years.
When he was...
He was engineer of St Mary's Council, and then they amalgamated with Penrith and Penrith.
Oh, yes, when they... When all,
the,
they
four, the four councils, yeah. Penrith, St Mary's, Castle Ray, yeah. And the Pean Shire. And he was appointed engineer of the amalgamated area. And he did it for 4 years and it was hopeless.
It's a big area.
And they had no money and they wouldn't plan anything and they wouldn't buy plant for him to use and all sort of thing. So he thought, oh, I'm going to leave. And so he left and went into private practice down here as a licensed surveyor because he had that ticket too.
Mm-hmm.
Licensed surveyor, and he's... He did that till he was about 74 or 5.
Really?
And he's subdivided all St Mary's.
Oh. Well, that's interesting because there would have been a lot of subdivisions.
Oh, yes, they're all 5 acre blocks to be divided.
When you moved here, were they?
Original grants, and then they've been divided into 5 acre blocks.
And what was here? Was it poultry farms or?
Poultry farms out there. And pig farms, And horse studs, and all sorts of farms.
Mm-hmm. Market gardens, I suppose.
Yes. And then, of course, the munitions started. They were built, and a lot of people were working there.
And the munitions factory was down near the railway, was it? Was it near where the Duration cottages are down?
No, it's out on the outside of the line.
Oh, I haven't ventured so far yet.
It's out along the end of Blossom Street.
So I suppose you noticed the population increase.
Oh yes,
enormously then.
Yes, and when they came here, there were no homes for them. All the immigrants who arrived, they came to nothing. There was one day, one Friday afternoon, John was in sixth class. It would be 1949. A train pulled in at the station we lived, just near, and we could see it. And I believe there were 1,200 people got out of that train, filled all the platform, and they were taken by bus out to the area, and they made some of the factory buildings into a living area for them.
And they were all migrants, were they?
Mm-hmm.
From Europe.
And on the Monday morning, 124 new children arrived at the school. With no preparation, no extra teachers, no extra classrooms, nothing.
Must have been...
Well, it was terrible for the headmaster and the teachers. John was given six of them to teach in the shed, kneel on the floor and put their books on the seats. And he did no more work that year, so he was only 11, so he repeated sixth class the next year to get to Parramatta High.
So they had the students teaching the the young pupils.
Mm.
Goodness.
Mm.
So you must have noticed a great change with the subdivision of the land and the extra population. How did you feel about it when this happened?
Good.
You didn't mind. You didn't.
Thought it was time it started.
Mm-hmm. And was the the shopping centre at St Mary's was very small.
Well, the Western Road had always been the shopping centre, originally.
Oh, yeah.
And then they changed it to Queen Street. But there were no buildings for them to use, and they gradually pulled down the houses and built shops. But, of course, it was quite a long job.
And did you have much to do with the migrant people who settled around here?
No, not much. Most of them, as they could, got work out in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one lady that I got friendly with. She had two little girls, and I got quite friendly with her.
What nationality was she?
Oh, I forget, Romanian or Austrian or something.
Mm. I thought with your German and French maybe you'd been able to communicate with them. And not that there'd be probably many French, but there'd be quite a few Germans, I think, coming out to the west. And so you didn't notice that the influx of the migrants had made much difference to the area, apart from the population. You didn't notice their culture influencing the area at all, no. And I think they used to tend to stick together fairly much too.
There was a Dutch lady who came to see if I had any work for her. She worked for me for quite a while because the year after I was teaching at Parramatta High, I had to go and see the specialist, because obviously there was something wrong with me, and he sent me for skin tests and blood tests and things like that. And they said I had lupus, which was quite unheard of at the time. Excuse me. And he said I'd have to take cortisone, which had just been discovered was the only thing, he said, the only thing to treat it with. And that was in 1957. And
it's a muscular disease, is that or?
It can attack any part of the body. It attacks each part of the body in turn. The lungs or the kidneys or the liver or muscles and joints. And it attacks women in the childbearing years, they say. I had a miscarriage when I was first married and I didn't know why. And I went to a woman doctor in Newcastle, and she examined me and she said, there's no reason for it that I can see, so give yourself 2 months and try again and take vitamin E and wheat germ oil. So I took gallons of wheat germ oil and vitamin E, and I had John. And then I had Janet while Lynn was in Bougainville. That was a very nice experience, I don't think. And the specialist told me that I was very lucky to have any children with lupus.
Really?
Mm.
So you'd had it then, but you didn't know?
Didn't know. And he said I'd have to go to bed and take cortisone. They didn't know much about cortisone, it was new.